Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So AI has unknowingly taken over our lives, and now AI might just be taking over the marketing world as well.
Yeah, many companies and the marketing teams they support are rapidly adopting intelligent technology solutions to encourage operational efficiency while also improving the customer experience.
Yeah, through these platforms, marketers are able to gain a more nuanced, comprehensive understanding of their target audiences.
And these insights are gathered through this process that can then be used to drive conversion while simultaneously easing the workload for marketing teams. And marketing is all about that, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a good thing you bring up, because, I mean, how about the small businesses, though? You know, do they have the capability and resources to have such tech in their arsenal?
Yeah, well, one company that's looking at this is Metigy, and it's the world's only AI-powered marketing solution for small businesses in particular. And so it gives them marketing objectives, daily to-do actions, insights, recommendations, and all of that is combined to provide SMEs with decision support so they can make the best choices.
I bet you're wondering as well, you know, how does AI and marketing work together? Well, on the line with us this morning is David Fairful, who is the CEO and co-founder of Metigy. David, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thanks so much for taking the time to help us understand AI and marketing. I suppose to start us off, give us a bit of background about your company, Metigy, and how you guys are helping provide solutions for small businesses.
Yeah, sure. So, look, I suppose the history of it is I was a partner in We Are Social, which is the largest global social agency. We were doing solutions for social and digital for big brands like eBay, PayPal, Kia, and a range of others. And we really looked at the opportunity to take that same sort of capability and use technology, machine learning and AI particularly, to provide that sort of solution to SMEs, because it's really not available to an SME. They can't afford a large agency or that expertise in-house. And the advent of ML meant that it was possible to really provide that at scale, personalize, and really deliver a solution that did that. So that was sort of 4 or 5 years ago now. We were in the process of selling that business to Blue Focus, which is the largest media group in China, and I thought, what a great opportunity to take what was a very significant proprietary data set and roll out of that and really build a business that serviced the SME market and see if we can help those SMEs that really struggle with that, because digital marketing has never been more complex, and it's a real opportunity for technology to solve a complex problem that, at the end of the day, very hard to analyze data on that sort of scale in real time and turn it into practical, sensible insights and recommendations that even a non-experienced marketer can follow. And 4 years into that, that's where we're at, and delivering that at scale now for brands across the globe. About 26% of our customers are in Southeast Asia, and so it's a big market opportunity for us.
Yeah, certainly, I'm sure. So we'll drill down into exactly how you're helping just up ahead. We know what you're doing to help, but the how is coming. Before we get there, I want to ask, what sort of companies has Metigy helped so far? Can you share some names, some stories?
Yeah, sure. So, like, a real range, I guess. A typical customer is 20 to 200 FTE, but we serve micro SMEs as well. And we're very capable at helping the inexperienced marketer sort of understand and how to deliver right through to a more sophisticated market, but we don't do enterprise level. In Singapore, for example, which is a significant market for us, some of the brands that we work with, Sleek, Found8 and JustCo, and in fact we have a partnership with JustCo, and obviously say Found8 and JustCo have gone through a fair bit of change in the last 12 months with the pandemic, going from being co-working groups to dealing with their customers remotely, so becoming digital first. And that's a real transition for many of our customers in the last 12 months, going from being dealing with their customers face-to-face and having close relationships to going through that entire digital transformation process so that they can, you know, build a digital-first mentality in terms of the way they deal with them. So,
David, any chance you could give us an example of a campaign that was done with the help of AI, something that was, I don't know, very successful and perhaps well-known to the regular person?
Interesting question. I'm trying to think of one specifically in Singapore.
Sure.
We have an example of a customer that is an Australian customer that's currently opening in the Singaporean market, but I'll give you an example of how they use the technology. So they are a parking app, so how do you find a parking space in real time? And on in Australia, on Bondi Beach, that's particularly hard to do most of the time. But there was an event a little while ago. It was Harry and his wife, and they were in Australia doing a royal visit, and they were doing some stuff on Bondi Beach. That was trending in real time. They jumped in and picked up that conversation through the analysis and the recommendation to actually engage and talk about that. They built a campaign in real time, and I think off the back of that, they had about 10,000 engagements with potential customers in the Sydney area, on topic and on trend, because that conversation was trending on social at that particular point in time, and that gave them a real uplift in terms of comprehension, understanding and conversions. And I think they had sort of circa 3,500 bookings off the back of that real-time activity. So an interesting outcome, and there's loads of solutions and examples like that.
Wow. Impressive.
Wow. Yeah, impressive. And also it sort of illustrates the need for speed in this business. It, you know, where you get marketing, AI, social, all of it coming together, it sounds to me that you just have to leverage tech. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to get to that level of speedy response that you really need to take advantage of what's happening in that space. Would that be a correct assumption?
Absolutely true, and I think that's a good way to explain what our product really does as well. If you post a particular, you know, piece of content onto, say, Facebook, if it's going to work organically, it'll work in the first couple of hours. If it doesn't work in that period, it's not going to work. But you don't actually see your Facebook data insights for 3 days conventionally through Facebook, and that opportunity has come and gone in that time. So by monitoring that information, we give our customer a recommendation. If it's working organically, therefore it's connecting with customers, a small investment, say $20, might give you a significant uplift. And a good example might be $20 would give you an 80% conversion improvement. Spent at that one point in time, it'll be far more effective than running an ad because you already know it's connecting with customers. It may be driven by a real-time conversational trend that's driving that, right? So you get a big uplift in conversion for a very small investment. And if you don't see that in real time, and most people don't have time in a small business to do that sort of monitoring, it's a perfect example of technology or AI doing a mundane job so that you see the opportunity and therefore can leverage it and be more creative and get a great outcome.
Yeah, I did wonder about that because obviously, you know, any innovation anywhere is all about solving a problem. And one of the problems that SMEs have often had is you can't just throw money at any old marketing campaign because you just don't have the money to throw around. So no. What I'm trying to drill down then is AI basically enables us, does it, to see what's happening without so much of an investment. And, you know, you won't lose as much money trying out new things.
Correct. The simple answer is, using technology cleverly, you will understand what results you're going to get for the investment that you're making. And that is the shift from simply putting money into a variety of things and calling it your marketing budget and wondering how it's going to work, to actually understanding the true return on investment. For, you know, a $50, you know, investment today, it'll generate, you know, $5,000 in sales. And that's really where our technology is heading towards, being able to give you that true ROI calculation.
David, a lot of small businesses now listening and probably agreeing with you. They know this. Yes, it's there to help. But a lot of them are unsure where to begin. You've got a government push, more emphasis on digitalization. There are some budgets available. But what would you advise a small business right now that wants to get on board this and doesn't have the resources?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one because I find the Singaporean government quite forward-thinking in respect of the entire digital transformation process, which is terrific. I know some of the programs that they've invested in seem quite forward-thinking. Two of them, I think, particularly, say, for example, I think there's the Chief Technology Officer as a Service. That seems like a really practical way for an SME who may not be digital first to really get some external input and start thinking, how do I transition my business model to be digitally centric and therefore able to engage with my customers anywhere, anytime? And that seems to me like a massive opportunity and a very simple, logical transition that all SMEs should be going through as early as they can. And I think more broadly, if I put it into our category, like at the end of the day, you know, the marketing stack generally for most SMEs, they may not even have an investment in marketing technology, or if they do, it's fairly fragmented. So I generally advise anybody who's looking at, you know, how can I really focus my spend or investment in this area, focus on connecting all your data sources so you truly get some transparency and understanding of how does my business work and how do I transition to a real-time engagement with my customers. Okay. So progressive investment in marketing technology will start to give you that visibility. It takes a little bit of time and certainly a learning curve, but a very valuable, you know, transition for any SME to start doing as early as they can in their cycle.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the things you're doing then is, you know, growing into the future. What are your big plans? And, you know, tell us about your experiences with fundraising and managing your money.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Fundraising is an interesting one. We have raised four rounds of capital so far, but our most interesting or challenging one was we were going to do a $5 million Australian dollar raise March last year. We pretty much lined it up with existing investors, and of course the pandemic hit in February and nobody was thinking about fundraising in March, and so we had to pivot our thinking a little bit and just see where things sort of transitioned during the course of that sort of March to April, May period. And we regrouped with one of our key investors and decided to do a raise in June, July. And we set our ambitions a little bit higher. We decided to try and raise $10 million. But the experience was going to be, rather than doing it face-to-face, we did it entirely over Zoom, which is a really interesting experience from my point of view. I wouldn't have thought that you could raise, say, Australian $10 million over Zoom without meeting anybody. In fact, we ended up getting expressions of interest for 22 and raised 20, and I didn't meet any of the investors or have any prior relationships before then. And in fact, I've only met two of them since. So it changes. I think it's, again, about having an open mindset about the way that process will work and being flexible about how you go about it. So it's a different environment. You can do things that you wouldn't have conventionally thought you could do purely digitally, and so that's a really interesting experience. And we're generally using those funds to scale and grow our international market presence. In fact, we've just opened an office in Singapore. We've been working in Singapore for a while and quite proactive there last year, and then again couldn't travel anymore, so we've just hired our first our market leader in Singapore, and we're adding a team of sort of 6 to 8 around them to be able to build out a great, what we think is a great sort of foothold in Southeast Asia based out of Singapore. And we're also opened in Denver in the US as well. So again, you have to just think laterally about how you do that in this current environment.
Yeah. David, to wrap up, I'm curious about your thoughts and even what you've just been through with regard to raising money. I mean, if you think about it, marketing-wise, how far can it go? Do you see a world where AI completely takes over and you're marketed things without even realizing that you're being marketed things?
Yeah, I think that's probably true, right? Because what I think it really does, it becomes, the power of it is really the personalized experience for the customer. So a brand can become very tactical and very engaged and very scalable in a way that the customer feels is unobtrusive, because it's what they want to hear from the brand about in the way that they want to hear it. And that really is the opportunity. But I think the flip side to that is that we don't really see technology replacing the capability of the marketer. In fact, we really see AI as being a great leverager for doing the hard parts or the mundane parts of the process so that the marketer can be more creative and think about, how do I really engage with the customer and speak to them in a way that they want to be, you know, talked to from a brand perspective. And so it's a great leveler, but also a great opportunity to be more customer-centric without all the investment or hassle.
Nice. We've been speaking with David Fairful, who is the CEO and co-founder of Metagy. David, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you, Manish and Elliot. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.